Well, this morning, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. And I want to share a message with you entitled, Kingdom Eyes, Seeing the Unseen. Kingdom Eyes, Seeing the Unseen. These are things that are intangible. They're things that are eternal. They're things that the natural eye can't see. But yet those of us that are Christians, somehow we've got to learn to see with these kingdom eyes what things are out there that are unseen to the natural eye. 2 Corinthians 4:18 tells us this, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I love that. I love that. We've got to start looking for the things that the natural eye can't see, the things that are unseen, because those are the real things in life that we want and that we need desperately. One of my favorite authors, Chris Tygreen, adds this. He says, he repeats Paul's words, fix your eyes on the unseen. That's like telling someone to listen to the silence or to taste the air. It sounds like a joke, and it begs an obvious question. How? How do we do that? What eyes do we use to observe the unseen? How do we gaze at what isn't even visible? If anyone expected an experience of God's presence to be simple, verses like this prove that it isn't. We have to tap into another realm. Paul isn't teasing, of course, he writes. We can fix our eyes on the unseen. We don't use the eyes of the flesh, obviously. They're only good at perceiving visible light reflecting off of concrete objects. But we do have eyes of the heart. Eyes of the heart. The very ones that Paul prayed would be enlightened to perceive God's wisdom and his revelation. Those eyes, the eyes of the heart, can gaze into the eternal realm of spirits where God and his angels are more real than the world our five senses perceive. Ephesians chapter 1, we pick up at verse number 17, which is a prayer by Paul over the Ephesians church and obviously over us today. Ephesians 1, 17, Paul says, I keep asking. Underline that word keep in your Bible. It's called persistent praying. Keep praying. Don't quit praying. Don't ever give up praying. Don't ever give up trusting God, believing God to hear and to answer prayer. Paul said, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit or a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know him better. God wants us to yada him, to know him, to be intimate with him. That's what God wants. He said, I want this glorious Father to give you. Underline that word give. God is always a giver. God is not a withholder. He's not a hoarder. He is a giver. And so this glorious Father, he says, I pray that he will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you can know him better. Verse 18, I pray also, catch this, that the eyes of your heart, there's the eyes we need to learn how to use. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and thirdly, his incomparably great power for us who believe. Three words there. Hope, riches, and power. I want you to underline those words in your Bible. Hope, riches, and power. He says, I want your eyes, the eyes of your heart, to be enlightened, to be opened, to be illuminated in order that you may know, first of all, the hope to which God has called you. It's the blessed hope. It's the hope that one day Jesus will come back for us. It's the hope that He really is the Savior of the world. It's the hope that He can forgive sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All these things fill us with hope, the promises of God. He says, I want you to know the hope to which God has called you. But secondly, He says, I want you to know the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. It's what we talked about in a few messages before we left town, real riches. What are the real riches? It's not the material things. Yeah, that's great to have. It's a great blessing. We all want that stuff. We all need material things to pay bills, to get by, to have a nice car, to have a home. All these things are great. But He said, I want you to know the riches, the true riches, the real riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. We are heirs of God, and we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We've been blessed with all spiritual riches. We've been blessed. We are seated presently. Our spirit is already seated in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. These are things and realms that we cannot see with the natural eye, but we have to pray that our eyes will be enlightened so we can receive this hope and that we can see the riches of this inheritance, this glorious inheritance that the saints have in and through Christ Jesus. And then verse 19, the third thing, He says, I also pray that God will enlighten your eyes, the eyes of your heart, so that His incomparably great power for us who believe can be seen and felt. So He gives us the hope. He wants us to have the riches. But thirdly, He wants us to have this incomparably great power, the power of God in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's for those of us that believe. You have to believe. If you don't believe, there's no hope. If you don't believe, you have no riches, no glorious riches awaiting you in heaven. And if you don't believe, you have no power. But if you do believe these things, if you do believe that God is your Father, if you do believe that Jesus is His one and only Son that gave His life on the cross for you, came and lived and died, was buried, and was resurrected, then all of these things can be ours for those of us that believe. Ty Green continues with this. He says, when we view life through the eyes of the heart, we are able to recognize God and understand the limits of temporary experiences. That's something, too, we need to really lock into with our eyes of the heart, is to recognize God, recognize who He is, recognize His power, recognize what He has already done for us, what He does for us on a daily basis. That's why we say look for the God sightings. Use the eyes of your heart to see the God sightings every day of your life. And then all that He has yet prepared in our future here on this earth and our future with Him in heaven. Lord, open the eyes of our heart to see these things and let us understand the limits of our temporary experiences. Moses put it this way. He would rather suffer persecution with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What this world has to offer is only temporary at best. It runs out, and you're constantly looking for something else. The drug addict is constantly looking for a better drug, something that'll take him higher, something that will help him to stay high longer. The alcoholic continues to pour that into his body because he wants to forget the trouble he's in, and the alcohol supposedly is helping him do that. This is why we have these things happening all around us. These addictions is because people don't know Jesus. They don't know that there is someone they can turn to help them in the situations of life. And so we have all of these addiction issues. And so we need to understand the limits that there are on the temporary experiences in this life. Pleasure only lasts for a little while. Then we have to face what does God have to say about the way we've lived our lives. Then He says, we are not overcome by temptation if our eyes are enlightened. We endure hardship. We value souls over material things. We seek purpose over passing pleasures. And we draw close to God Himself as we allow our eyes to be illuminated, the eyes of our heart, as we use kingdom eyes and we see the things that are unseen. We can do all of that, he writes, because we're focused on a higher reality than most people see. Most people will live their life and never even know about kingdom eyes. Most people will live their life looking at the temporal and never really thinking or dealing with the eternal. They don't look to something in the heavenlies or in the future. They may, if they believe in that, they may think, well, if I'm just a good person, then I'll make heaven my home. As long as I'm not hurting other people with my lifestyle, I'm basically a good person. I don't steal, I don't cheat, I don't lie. So if I stack up all my good stuff and it outweighs my bad stuff, then I'll go to heaven. Well, that's not true. The Bible says that any sin will keep you from God, separates you from God. That's why Jesus had to come to forgive us and cleanse us from that sin. So God's presence is a palpable reality for those who have cultivated their eyes to see the unseen. Say that again. God's presence, the presence of God, what we felt here this morning in worship, and as we partook of communion together, God's presence is a palpable reality for those of us who have cultivated our eyes to see the unseen. And it's frustratingly elusive for those who haven't. That's why the world mostly is in despair today, because they don't have this ability to see what you can't see. They don't understand it. The Bible says it's foolishness to them. It's foolish to believe something like that. But for those of us that have experienced this presence and we have been able to see what God has for us, it's not elusive. He says, improve your vision by choosing God's truth over human wisdom. We talked about that in recent messages. He says, we can also improve our vision by refusing to bow to immediate impulses and demands. We don't need to cave in to what the world says we should or shouldn't do, or should or shouldn't have, or the way we should or shouldn't think, or the way we should or shouldn't dress or act or whatever. We need to improve our vision by refusing to bow to immediate impulses and demands. We can improve our vision by noticing the flow of God's voice and asking Him to help us in our time of need. God says we can do that, casting all of our care upon Him because He cares for us. God loves to give sight to the blind. Now, there's obviously different kinds of blindness. There's one here in Luke 4:18. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, and it's actually a prophetic word from Isaiah that Jesus fulfills in this moment. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. I believe that's twofold in regards to the recovery of sight for the blind. I believe physical blindness can be healed by the power of God. Jesus healed many blind people physically. But I think it's deeper. I think it's also what we're talking about here today, that God wants to give us kingdom eyes, eyes that can see the unseen. And I believe that Jesus wants to unblind, if you will, our kingdom eyes and open them so that we can see the things that are unseen. We know from Scripture that there are territorial angels around the world. We know that that happens in the heavenlies. There's warfare going on. And Daniel was told, I heard your prayer the first time you prayed, but there was warfare in the heavenlies, and the angel over the kingdom of Persia delayed my getting the answer to you, Daniel. And so we understand that there are realms that we can't see. But God can open our eyes and our knowledge of these realms to where we can fight the good fight. We can keep the faith. We can overcome through the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. In Luke chapter 7, we find this encounter. When the men from John the Baptist came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask this, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect somebody else? Are you the Messiah? Are you the real deal, or should we look for somebody else?" Remember, John the Baptist, when he baptized Jesus in the Jordan, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." But now John's in prison. John's in prison, and he's not far from being beheaded. And he knows his time is probably short. And he says, So Lord, what's up? Are you gonna rescue me from this prison cell before it's too late? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that's gonna rid us of Roman rule and authority? Are you the one? Or should we look for somebody else?" He is weakened in his faith. He's questioning, "Are you really the Son of God? Are you really the dude that I said you were, the sinless Lamb of God? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so at that very time, verse 21 says, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits. And he gave what? He gave sight to many who were blind. Again, this is physical sight. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen, what you have heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor." All of those were signs of the Messiah and of his coming. He said, "You go back and you tell John what you've just seen here today, what you've seen performed before your very eyes today. Go back and tell him, and he won't have any more question. He'll know that I am who I said I am." Amen. David prays this in Psalm 119, verse 18. David says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." He's not talking about physical eyes. He can read, he can see, but he's saying, "I want you to open my kingdom eyes so I can see unseen things that are in your law. You share with me by the power of the Holy Spirit what's in the Word. Give me insight, give me vision." We're going to be talking about that next week as a follow-up. Vision. God, give me eyes to see. We need vision. We need vision for today. We need vision for tomorrow. We need God to help us to see what's happening around us, in us, through us, to us, and know what the future holds. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that shows us what is yet to come. He gives us vision. He gives us eyes to see. David prays, "Open my eyes, my kingdom eyes, that I may see wonderful things in your law." Hebrews 12:2, I think, is a great place to start with that. And the writer does this. He says this, "Let us," those of us that are believers, "let us fix our eyes on" who? Jesus. Guys, get your eyes off of people. Get your eyes off of politics. Get your eyes off of this world. Get your eyes pointed heavenward. Get your eyes pointed toward Jesus. Let us, those of us that are believers, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter, the finisher, the completer of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is a supremely powerful, powerful verse. We've got to do our part. We've got to fix our eyes on Jesus. We can't be swayed by this world. We can't conform any longer to this world, but we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can know what God's will is for our lives. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because he's the author, he's the finisher, he's the perfecter, he's the completer of our faith. And catch this, who for the joy that was set before him. Jesus had kingdom eyes. He saw something in the future beyond the cross, beyond the grave, beyond what he was about to go through this week of passion that is coming up soon later this month. He looked beyond the cross, who for the joy that he saw with his kingdom eyes, the joy that was set before him allowed him to endure the cross, to scorn its shame, because the Bible says cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. It was a shameful thing to be hung. It would be like if somebody commits a murder, if a family member of ours committed a murder, and we would be ashamed of them for doing that. And we'd be so upset that they were going to be brought before court and be tried and go to jail. That would bring shame on the family name, all that stuff. Well, he scorned the shame. He looked beyond the cross. He endured it. And then later, because of that, because of his submission to the will of the Father, he sat down at the right hand of God in heaven, and he ever lives to intercede for me and you. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Let's see that with kingdom eyes. Let's see the fact that part of us is already seated with him in heavenly places, according to Paul. We're seated with him in heavenly places already. Our physical body is not there yet. This physical body never will be there. It's going to be a glorified body. It's going to be a transformed body. This corruptible puts on incorruption. This mortal puts on immortality. And then the saying is brought to pass. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Let's see that victory. Open our kingdom eyes and get the victory that's given us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? So important that we have kingdom eyes like David did, like Jesus did. And then Psalm 141:8, David tells the Lord this, "My eyes are fixed on you, O sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge." Open your kingdom eyes. Fix them on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He says, "I want to fix my eyes on you, O sovereign Lord, and in you, that's where I'm going to find refuge." Where do you go to find refuge in this world today? When you're stressed, when you can't sleep, when you're worried, when you're fearful, when you're anxious, who do you turn to? Where do you turn? What do you turn to? Do you turn to a drug? Do you turn to alcohol? What do you turn to? Who do you turn to? Do you turn to Jesus? Do you fix your gaze on him? And do you take refuge in him? Ask yourself where you're looking or who are you looking to for refuge, for your security, for all the things that you want in life. Who are you looking to? If it's not Jesus, then you're in trouble. You're in trouble. I want to move quickly now. I want us to go to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, and we're going to go to chapter number 4 to begin. Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to pick up at verse number 20. Proverbs 4 and verse 20, if I can get this page to not be stuck. It says this, Solomon is writing, he's writing to his son, and he says this, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words." It's really obviously God writing here through Solomon, and he's telling us this today. "My son, my daughter, pay attention to what I say," God writes to us. "Listen closely to my words." Listen to the words of God. Don't listen to what people are telling you. Don't listen to advisors, unspiritual advisors who might be around you, but listen closely to the word of God. "Don't let them out of your sight," he says. There's that sight again, looking for things in his word. David said, "I'm looking to your word for insight, for direction." Don't let the words of God out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Keep them in your mind, for they are life to those who find them, and they are health to a person's whole body. And above everything else, he says, guard your heart, guard your mind, for out of that is the wellspring of life. This is where it all begins, between your ears, between my ears. That's where it all begins. It's the mind. It's the mind. Keep the words of God in your mind. They're life for us who find them. They're health to our entire body. The word of God is literally health to us. And above everything else, guard your mind, because from your mind comes forth the wellspring of life. What you think about, how you think, are you a positive person? Are you a negative person? Do you dwell on the negative side of life, or do you dwell on the positive side of life? And I'm not talking about just the power of positive thinking. It's good to do that. But We need to be positive in the right way and positive about the right foundation. And that foundation is the Word of God, because that's the only thing that's never going to change. The Bible says His Word endures forever. Heaven and earth are going to pass away. This world as we know it is toast. It will be fried one day. That's what the Word says. First judgment on this planet came by water. The second judgment is going to come by fire. It's going to melt away. But the Word of the Lord endures forever. What it says, you can bank on it. You can stand on it. You can claim it. You can believe it. It's never going to fail you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the ages. Lock into the Word of God. A little bit further, he says, put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze. I love that. Underline that phrase. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths or straight paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Don't swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Watch where you walk. Watch how you talk. That's what he's basically saying here. Watch how you talk. Watch where and how you walk. He says, but fix your eyes straight ahead. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. Don't go too far to the left. Don't go too far to the right. But fix your eyes straight ahead. Stay in the center of God's will for your life. Don't accept anything less than His perfect will for your life. If you don't know what it is, find it. Seek Him out. He'll show you. He'll tell you. It's so important. Let's go back up to Proverbs chapter 3, begin at verse number 21. Check this portion of Scripture out. I love this. He says, my son, my daughter, preserve sound judgment and discernment, and don't let them out of your sight. You can't see sound judgment. You can't see discernment. Those are things that you have to look at with kingdom eyes. It's stuff you can't see. These are things that will help you to get eternal life if you preserve sound judgment, if you preserve discernment. Don't let them out of your sight, because they will be life for you. Sound judgment and a discerning heart and mind will preserve your life. It'll be an ornament to grace your neck. There's a verse in Scripture I haven't really checked out yet. It's confused me for a long time. Maybe Paul can help me with this. But it's like the verse that talks about the necklaces that the camels wear. It's like, what's up with that? I got to figure that out. But he says, these two things will be life for you, and they'll be like an ornament to grace your neck. Sound judgment and discernment will be like a necklace for you. Then, he says in verse 23, you will go on your way in safety if you have sound judgment and discernment. Your foot will not stumble. And I love this. When you lie down, you won't be afraid. You know, when you were little, you know, sometimes maybe you lay down and you're afraid of the dark, you know? Anybody ever been afraid of the dark? I was. I guarantee I was. Man, I'd want somebody sleeping there by me, or have the light on, or you know there's monsters under the bed or in the closet, or something's got to be there, you know, because you just feel it, you know? But he says, when you lie down, if you exercise sound judgment and you have discernment, when you lie down, you won't be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. The devil will use stress in your life to rob you of sleep. He'll put what ifs in your imaginations, the imaginations of your mind. You'll take it to the nth degree. You know, you get maybe a scratch on your arm, and before you know it, it's got to be amputated, and then you're gonna die from that, because it's not gonna work. And the devil will take you to the worst case possible scenario, right? And you're sweating, you can't sleep, you can't relax, and the devil will do that to you. I'm being a little facetious here, but you get the point, because some of you have been through this, and some of you are still going through this right now. You sleep, when you lie down, you are afraid. When you lie down, there's no sleep. It's not sweet. You're struggling because you're afraid of something. You're worried about something. The devil's got you upset, and you're caving into it. But he says when you use sound judgment and you give God the ability to open up the eyes of discernment, kingdom eyes to see unseen things, he says you're going to be able to lie down and you're not going to be afraid anymore. And when you lie down, your sleep is going to be sweet. Why do we need sleep? Because it restores your body. Why does the devil not want you to get sleep? Because it won't restore your body if you're not sleeping. You're going to harm your body if you don't sleep well. And so Kathy and I, even this week, we did our best to practice what we've preached to many of you as you've gone through illnesses or illnesses of family members, especially for caretakers, Sometimes the patient is better off than the caretakers. Amen? Because the caretakers are under a lot of stress. And we always tell you guys, if you're a caretaker, get plenty of sleep, guard your rest, and make sure you're eating properly. Always eat properly, you know, because you've got to have strength to be able to care for that person that you're caring for. And so we did that the last couple of weeks. We made sure we got rest. We made sure we were eating. May not have been always at a great time, but we made sure we ate. We were doing our best to practice what we preach in that regard. And so it's so important because when you lie down, you need to sleep. You don't need to watch the clock. You don't need to just lay there awake hour after hour, you know, but you need to sleep. God, the Bible says it's vain for us to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. God doesn't want you sorrowful. He doesn't want you depressed. He doesn't want you stressed out. He wants you to be able to sleep. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. And then on top of that, I love this. This is great scripture here. You need to memorize this. He says, have no fear. If you have these two things, sound judgment, discernment, you'll have no fear of sudden disaster. There's that. The devil will do that to you. Oh, disaster after disaster, calamity after calamity is coming. You know, you're gonna be bankrupt. You're going to have this. You're going to have that. Blah, 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 blah. You're going to, whatever your worst case scenario is, he'll tell you. He'll tell you. But have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. Why? For the Lord will be your confidence. If you fix your eyes, your kingdom eyes on Jesus, the Lord's your confidence. And you don't care what comes or what goes, you're going to be rock solid because God's with you. God is for you. God is never against you. He's always for you. If God is for us, who can be against us? Scripture says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not also, along with Jesus, this wonderful gift, graciously give you all things? God's not a withholder. God's a giver. Just got to fix your eyes, your kingdom eyes, on what's unseen. The Lord is your confidence, and he will keep your foot from being snared. Almost done, guys. I appreciate your patience. Psalm 25, let's go there just briefly. Psalm 25, we're going to pick up at verse number 14. These are awesome scriptures. Please make note of them. Psalm 25, verse 14. The Lord confides in those who fear him. With your kingdom eyes, the Lord will let you see things. He'll confide things in you and to you that he won't to someone that doesn't know him and it's not trying to serve him. The Lord confides in those who fear him, those who reverence him, those who stand in awe of him, those who respect him. God will confide in you. He'll open your kingdom eyes to let you see things. He makes his covenant known to them. God will make his covenant known to you. And then I love this. David says, my eyes are ever on the Lord. He says, I'm always looking to God. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Remember what we read? The author, the finisher of your faith. My eyes are ever on the Lord. Why? For only he is going to release my feet from the snare. What are you snared by this morning? What habit, what sin, what failure, what fault, what shortcoming? What are you snared by? He will deliver you from the snare. Turn to me, David prays, and be gracious to me, because I am lonely and I'm afflicted. Some of you here this morning, you may be in a room full of people, but you're lonely. there's things in your life that have afflicted you, that are harming you, hurting you, God wants to set you free and deliver you from these things. He says, the troubles of my heart have multiplied. The stuff in my mind, the things I'm thinking about have multiplied. The what-ifs are multiplying in my head as we speak, he says. And there's a great scripture. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, your comforts bring delight to my soul. I pray this over people all the time, that God will, in spite of the multitude of things in their thoughts, all the multitude of thoughts within them, that the Comforter himself, the Holy Spirit, will bring comfort and delight to their very soul. Not just to your body, not just to your mind, not even just to your spirit, but to the depths of your soul. God wants to bring delight to you. Then he says, free me from my anguish, look upon my affliction and my distress, and take away all my sins. See how my enemies have increased, how fiercely they hate me. So, Father, guard my life and rescue me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. There's that word again, David taking refuge in the Lord. And this, may integrity and uprightness protect me. Can't see integrity. Can't see uprightness, but you'll know it. And he says, because my hope is in you. There's that hope word again. That was the first thing we talked about early on in the scriptures, is that you got to have hope. God wants to give you hope. That's another unseen thing that you got to open your kingdom eyes in order to see it. Proverbs 23:26 tells us this, my son, give me your heart, give me your mind, and let your eyes keep to my ways. Oh, Father, give us kingdom eyes. Here's a great prayer, simple prayer. Lord, give me eyes to see eternal realities. Change my focus. Catch this. Divorce me from the tyranny of the tangible. I love that phrase. Divorce me from the tyranny of the tangible. And give me kingdom eyes, eyes that see the unseen. Let's pray.